Today, from the Wings Archive, the world's oldest feminist radio station, Secrets for Success.
Our generation were told by our enthusiastic mothers that it's equal right now for women and men. So we believe that, and we are growing up, and we suddenly understand that that is not so. And it's making people really angry, you know, and you're feeling that somebody fooled you.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service. The music you're hearing is Loveton by Eventyr, one of the Norwegian women's bands on the anthology CD Stiff Nipples, and often heard on the Norwegian women's radio station, Radio Rakel. Since the early 80s, Radio Rakel has been a creative and political outlet for generations of young women. In October 2000, I interviewed a Radio Rakel reporter and its editor-in-chief.
My name is Liv Gulbrandsen. I'm 26 years old. A radio reporter and a feminist.
I'm Ingrid Wergeland, nearly 22, and I'm the editor-in-chief, would you say that? Of Radio Rakel in Norway, the first women's radio, which we are very proud about being. And I call myself a feminist as well, and I'm also a presenter and reporter. Radio Rakel started in 1982 as a result of a surplus of a feminist or a women's festival, which was held in 78 or something. And when the Norwegian government opened for community radios or local radios in Norway in 1982, there were five or six women who applied for a license, and they got it. They got 6 hours a week, and they started with typical women's programs like women and health and women and human rights and such issues. And they shared the frequency with a very fanatic Christian radio, and they had like a lot of fights in between them. And during the years when there have been new licenses, Radio Rakel has got more and more hours a week, and now we send 30 hours a week. I know there's a new license coming up, and we'll try to get 20 more or something. We'll try to do that. The new license starts in 2001.
Du kom til meg om natta og ville ha litt trøst. Det løye katolike I en varme røst. Allting var bort gale, du kunne ikke se. Å finne fram I blinde, hvem kan klare det? Du hadde blitt forlatt av alle unntatt meg. Nå var det bare jeg.
You two obviously haven't been at Radio Rakel the entire time. How did you get involved in the station?
I've been working in the newspaper before, and I had some friends, and I had been listening a lot to Radio Rakel. And then I heard they were having courses for people who wanted to start working with radio. So I took this course who lasted a weekend, and I fell in love immediately. So then after a while, you can start to have your own shows and work with the radio. So I've been working with the radio 1 year.
All the journalists working at Radio Rakel are amateurs who start, or some people have been working as journalists before, but the administrative leader and the editor is new every year because we don't have any salaries, we don't have any income at all working there. So
they're very, very poor that year. Very skinny, slim people after that year.
Well, what do you do in your job?
As an editor, it's a lot of organizing, it's a lot of recruiting new people, because we try to have a balance of giving people like jobs, a job at the radio, but we don't want to burn people out. We want the people to work as much as they feel is right for them. But at the same time, a lot of people are getting very good at doing radio, are entertainers or very critical reporters or good technicians or whatever, because they're doing exactly what they want to, so they're doing it with their whole heart. So when people get good at it, they leave us, because they can get a job where they can earn money somewhere else, but they always come back.
So part of your job is to make sure that there's something on all of those 30 hours a week and that the jobs are spread around?
Yeah, that's the more organized part of my job, but it's also to encourage people to work with issues that are important, that we regard as important. That's a very important part of Radio Rackle's goal, is to discuss things that are not discussed elsewhere. If we do a case that is in media all over, we want to see it from another angle. And of course, to let all the new people, all the reporters, work on themes that they are interested in themselves, because when people are really interested in something, they do it much better than if not.
What are some of the themes, Liv, that you have worked on since you've been there this year?
I've been focused on politics, and we had a really good year now this last year, because it's a lot of girls who have been writing books about feminist issues, young girls. So the interest in these issues grew very fast, and a lot of young girls became feminist because of these three books in 1 year. So we have been following that very close, and following the critics of these books in the other newspapers, who have been often really mean and bad, and try to make these girls a chance to defend themselves and answer that critics.
You mentioned these books. I was wondering, what are the names of the books and what are they about, just a little bit?
The first one started in Sweden 1 year ago, and because of that book, it was called Fittstim, who means it's not easy to translate that. It's a bad word.
It's like the ugliest word for say, like that you can say. And it's it was meant as a... It was this guy who said it in a... Oh, I hate all these girls. They are like a bunch of pussies, you know? He said that, and they took the word and they made a book with this word as a title, which is an anthology with a lot of young girls writing about how it is to be a girl today. And they're also putting in facts like statistics about what women earn, how they're treated in school, how many are losing weight or having anorexia.
And also what is different with these books is that it's written by girls who grew up in the 80s, you know, and in a way our generation were told by our enthusiastic mothers that you are growing up in an equal, it's equal right now for women and men. So we believe that, and we are growing up and we suddenly understand that that is not so. It's not so at all, and it's making people really angry, you know, and you're feeling that somebody fooled you, because I have this feeling inside that I have the equal right, that I am as much as a human that all the guys, and then you suddenly feel that this is not the reality. So this is one of the things these girls are writing about this big lie that you were given, that everything is equal, and then suddenly you understand that it is not. And so they write a lot about pressure to be skinny and beautiful, and a lot about sexual harassment in school, which is a very big problem, and about the laws, about education, that boys, when they are choosing schools, they choose between 350 schools, and girls between 50. And it's no law who says that they should do that, but it's, you moved like from an outside force, or from law outside to an inner, to an inside law, if you understand me too, that you have managed to discipline all these girls to not use all the possibilities of choosing. That's one of the issues, yeah. And this is what many of these books were called. So the first one came in Sweden 1 year ago, 1.5 years ago, and then 2 months after, a Norwegian one was published, like the Norwegian answer to that Swedish book. And then 3 months after, a new one came out in the store, it was called Matriark. And then now,
Just a month or 2 months ago, it came out a book called Feminisjon, like feminism. They have created the word.
Revolution and feminism is feminisjon, in a way, feminisjon.
Oh, feminisjon. Yeah. Feminisjon. Uh-huh. And that is more strategic book, whereas the other books have been like anthologies, presenting how it is to be a girl today. You know, there's a lot of personal stories. The feminists also have this anthology part, but they also have a history of women, but all the fights that have been won, so that girls today can see what have happened in history and be encouraged to see that if we fight, there is a possibility of making things better.
Yes. And these books too have invited people who were feminist activists from the 80s to write in their book. And yeah, the 70s, I mean, and also the 70s and 80s, I think, can, and that book is more like, what can we do with it? What now? We have been talking about how it was for us to grow up in this society and what we feel is wrong, but what are we going to do about it? So that has been really, we had a lot of discussion, a lot of big open meetings, and people were coming from everywhere and filled up the rooms. People were standing towards the walls and shouting to getting hurt. It was really funny.
Wow, it just makes my hair stand up to think about that you're having such a big revival of feminism in Norway at this time. Talk a little bit about the role of the radio. I mean, you have a lot of women coming through the radio, and are they heard a great deal?
Yeah, that's one of the big goals at Radio Rockwell. It's not only the fact that we go around and feel being feminists, but it's also that we want to promote women in technique, we want to promote women as reporters and presenters, and also it's a very important thing that we want to interview more women than we interview men. Because the gap in, that's another thing with Norwegian society, or Scandinavian for that sake, it's the media which is having like 20% of the people are interviewed are women and 80% are men. And there are slightly 5% more on the pictures, but it's like, in general, it's very few women being interviewed. And it's not the thing that there are no women to interview. I mean, there are 50% of the possible interviews or objects that could be women. So that's something we're very concerned about, having women in the studio. And we're trying to set an example for others, and we're telling other media to do the same as we do and tell them that this is not, it's not the way it should be. It's not right.
And also we have been using a lot of time to see what's happening on the music front, especially young Norwegian girls who are making music and playing in good bands and groups, and give them a possibility to show what they're made of too. Mm.
She is gonna go away, she will leave us any day. She is gonna be a star, just as we are. That's what she'll say.
It's very, very important to be conscious, and we have discussion between us. After every hour, after every show we have broadcasters, we are sitting down and counting. Did we manage it this time? Do you know? How was the music? Who were singing? Who did we interview? Who present the interview? To see if we managed to do what we want. And we have experienced too that we are being better journalists by looking for women. I think we're being a better journalist because we get cases or we're finding things that the other media, they're not seeing them because they're not looking towards what women are doing. And also because of if you always go to the top of politicians or organization, you will find all the men sitting there. But in a way, you already know what they're going to say, you know, and they have plenty of possibilities to say it all over, but if you look a little bit down, you will find all the other women experts who have a lot of interesting things to tell, and all the radios, newspapers, they don't look that way, so they miss a lot of very useful information.
That's one thing, that they miss information, but there's another thing which is like kind of humorous, that all journalists want to have their angle on a case. That's always the thing. Everybody's covering the same things, but they won't have their angle. And we get that angle very easily. For example, this is very, like, plain example. Once I went to this theatre performance, I wanted to do an interview to cover this theatre play. And the main character was a man. The director was a man. But then was this woman who had made the scenography. You know, everybody interviewed the director, the main character, and I got the scenographer, which was great. It was a very nice interview. And I'm sure nobody heard that interview anywhere else.
And also it is, we used to joke about this. If I was an alien and I was supposed to go and visit the Earth, and somehow I managed to get newspapers, you know, to learn something, or listen to radio to learn something about this planet I'm going to, I would think that 80% of the people who were living there were men. You know, but that is not a true picture, it's a false picture. So if you always interview men, you play music only made by men, there are only men who are interviewing, it's not the truth. And as a journalist, you should try to tell the truth. You can't make this one-eyed picture, you know, or telling a story of half the world and say this is the whole world. It's a lie.
Another thing, there are two other aspects which are important with this, is the aspect of showing girls that girls are not only artists or leading politicians, because there are a lot of more women out there which are doing a lot of other things. That's one thing. And another thing by the idea that we have in Radarakul is that when women come to us and we interview them, that happens so many times every week that a woman comes and she's like, oh, this is my first time at the radio. Oh, I'm very nervous. This is so exciting. I've never been to studio before. And we say, like, no, it's not that strange. And she comes out and she's like, no, that was not that difficult. And then the next time when somebody else will call her, she won't say, oh, no, there's somebody else that knows about this, which is much better than me, which is something we hear very often. And then she'll say, oh, yeah, I've been interviewed before, it's not that hard. For sure, you know?
We have been experienced that many times when people say, yes, I would like to interview more women, but they say no. And that's the truth. But we have also this good experience by, okay, maybe you have to use 5 more minutes to convince her, but it's worth it. It will be much better radio if you take that time. 5 more minutes is often enough to say, yes, you can do this, or yes, I want you to come here, or you can come and have a cup of coffee and we can talk with you before we go into the studio. You know, it's not that hard. But me, I also experience that if, for example, you go out in the street and trying to interview 5 on the street on an issue. If I want 10 men, I ask 10 men and I have 10 answers. If I want 1 woman, I have to ask 10 women to get 1 to answer. And I think that is a very interesting observation about the self-esteem and about that we are also, all the women are children of this culture who tells us all the time from we are small girls watching television that the people who are in radio, the people who are in television are men, and the people who have right to take space and use your time with what they're saying are men. And that's why Radio Rock Girl is really, really important to show that girl take space, that we are using a lot of room and have important things to say and are important people.
Hey, now I'm waiting for you to come home. The candles are lit and the curtains are drawn. All the hunger, all the need and all the pain. Running round in my head about you and love and lies and things in my bed and all of the cliches and pathetic phrases going down my spine, making funny faces at me.
One thing about Radio Raquel is that it has had tremendous continuity. When many other women's media projects have started and then at some point they fizzle out and come to an end. What arguments were used or what persuasions were used, for instance, to bring the two of you into the station? How is it that this station stays so vibrant that there are more and more young women who come to the station and get involved?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's that we are doing something like those 3 books that came out. They were touching something that was needed. It is a need for women's radio. It is a need for a place where people can learn how to express themselves, learn how to interview the persons they want to interview. I think it's as easy as that. It's very democratic. It's very anarchistic in a way as well sometimes, but it is very, it's based on idealism, and when it's based on idealism, people are there because they want to be there. And when people want to be somewhere and they stay there, they are happy. And when people are happy, they catch others. And I don't know, I think that might be some of the reason. They feel that they're doing something important. And as I said, that people come back to the Radio Rockel after they've got this great job elsewhere and become famous or whatever they do. They come back because they see that this is the only place where they have total freedom to do whatever they want to do, because other places they're told, can you cover this and that? Can you do an interview with this and this person? At Radio Rockel, they are free to do what they feel is important. And that's very different from elsewhere.
And also I think we had managed to combine to be a political radio and to be an entertainment radio. We are going to give people information, but we also mean that women and girls has a lot of humor and really intelligent humor and that we can combine these things, make it a very dynamic place to be. You like to be there. When you come there, you have to laugh. It's a nice place to be. And you really feel you are together with other people. And what I felt really when I started working at Radio Rockel too, it was that the other girls were really pushing me to do things, but not by telling me that you should work harder, but more like, you can do it, come on. And this is not good enough, because I know that you can make it better, because you're good. They make you work hard in the positive way.
Mm. It's a very growing place. Of course, it's not as good as it could be, but I know we are a lot better than other stations. We are following people up, and people are feeling that they're learning things for every report they're making. They're hearing, that was good, but maybe you should have done more in this and that. We want to hear your voice more. Why didn't you say that? But it's always in a positive way, with a smile, because we know that you're very good. And it is true, because we're not saying that to flatter people. It's because people need to hear it, and love to hear it as well.
And because we have a lot of extremely talented people working with us. And we have a lot of the girls who are working there are members of a women's organization. So we have coming for free all these tips of what is happening with other organizations in different countries. They're coming with a lot of information all the time. And also we're having a studio in the attic of a house. It's a subcultural house. So it's a lot of youth, alternative culture youth things in that house. So it's a very active house. It's a lot of things that are happening all the time. And we have a small cafe on the ground floor where people are coming from all over the city to eat very cheap food. So when we're having breaks, we are going down there to have a cup of coffee and a small meal. And you meet people all the time face to face who have been listening to you in the radio and can give you direct feedback. Yeah. And that's good too.
Totally small. It's a very low roof. Everybody's coming there like, oh, this is cute.
You can't stand in the studio. You have to bend your head a little bit. And most people I got in there were four people sitting and two standing, bending. But we invite people without shame to that studio. We had like big ministers and famous person in there, and they just have to accept it. And also we are not getting any money from the government or from anybody else almost. That also means that we are totally independent. Other people who need money all the time from, for example, the government, what happened that day, they cut this money, you know. So in a way it represents our freedom, the way we are. It's okay, we make good radio there, and that's the important thing.
Liv Gulbranson and Ingrid Varglum spoke to Frida Worden in the year 2000. Radio Rockel still airs on FM in Oslo, Norway, and streams online at radiorakel.no. Music in this program is from the compilation album Stiff Nipples 2. For more about Wings, email wings@wings.org. Thank you, Wings supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose new work can be found at gifteconomy.com. That's gift-economy.com. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frida Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.